achieve something, now I'm entitled to something. After all, I deserve to be recompensed for some of the things that I've done. For some of us today, I want you to realize this, the graduates and a lot of other folks that are sitting here today, you have had a good life. You've taken advantage of some good things, and to your credit, you know, mom and dad was involved in some things that went on in your life, and you've done the best you could with your education. You've taken that opportunity, seized the moment, and that's good. But here's Pastor Mark's dose of reality for everyone here this morning. No one owes you anything. I want you to understand that. Just because you have a degree doesn't mean that you're owed anything. No one owes you anything. In fact, is this. Some of us were born on second base, and we think we've hit a double. Well, you've had a lot of advantages, and you've taken care, you've taken good things with those advantages. But the fact is, you've not hit a double. You've just been afforded some great opportunities in life. No one owes you anything, and if you take this attitude that you're owed something, then you're going to find out really, really quick that you're not all that special. Most of the earth has been fine without you up to this moment, and they still will be fine with or without you. I'm just going to be completely frank with the graduates here this morning. There's really only one thing that's going to separate you from the rest of the herd. There's only one thing that's going to make you stand out in the crowd, and that's the title of the message, One Rule for Graduates and Everyone Else. It's found in the Word of God, and it's really universally known. So let's stand this morning. I want to read as we stand this morning, and I'm actually going to ask you to recite when we get down to verse 31 with me this morning. All right, here we go. These words of Christ. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. Now on the screen this morning, it's going to be right up there. It should be. I want us to read this in unison this morning. Here's verse 31. You may recognize this as the golden rule. This is 1, 2, 3. And just as you want men to do to you, you do also to them likewise. All right, thank you. Verse 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Now, as I look at those verses, there's really a lot in those verses. Now, think about it just from a broad overview. How to deal with your enemies, how to handle a physical altercation, what giving should really look like in our life, how we can ultimately be a truer reflection of God. Everything that I've named there, as I've studied this and looked at this and prayed about this, I feel is hinged upon verse 31, which we read in unison this morning. Let me read it to you again. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. See, that's where I came up with this title. This is the one rule for the graduates. It's the one rule for everyone else here this morning. Most of us will recognize it as the golden rule, and it's really fitly named because this rule is absolutely golden. Culturally, it's easy for us to see that there's really questions around us on who do we trust. Because ultimately, when we see from society, from culture, is not the golden rule. We see anything but that. Some have called it an ethical dilemma. I mean, think about all the news reports that go on. We see a lot of bad things, undesirable things that are going on. There's questions about what is moral, what is right, what is wrong, what's the right practice. So I want to show you some of the things that we face as graduates this morning. It's an ethical dilemma. Here's the first one. We do what's most convenient. It's not about what's right. It's about what's most convenient. We make decisions based on short-term benefits. Here's what I know about short-term benefits. They come at the sacrifice of long-term relationships. So as you sacrifice something in the here and now just for a short-term gain, it's going to cost you probably in the end. Here's another one. An attitude that's prevalent amongst society. We do what we must to win. We see that in church culture as well. I had a dear friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine locally here. He told me his goal in life was to be better, have the better church than everybody else, to better be the better preacher, be the better at everything, to beat other churches into the ground. That doesn't sound like a good pastor attitude, does it? I know I like to win as much as the next person. I'm a very competitive person about a lot of things. But we should not be willing to sacrifice our character at the altar of champion. There's a third thing. We rationalize our choices with relativism. Now, relativism is the concept that there's really no absolute truths. There's the only experience. And we base what we do upon experiences. It's a better way to evaluate our actions according to different circumstances. Now, one of the wonderful things about do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, the golden rule, it makes the intangible tangible. You don't need a law degree. You don't need a doctorate. You don't need all these philosophy classes to explore the nuances of what it means. It simply means you put yourself in the other person's circumstances, and you do to that person as you would want to be treated in that circumstance. There's no complicated rules. There's no loopholes. Even the first graders in my wife's Sunday school class could understand this rule this morning. It's really quite easy to apply to our lives. So I want to show us three things that this rule can do. And I believe these things not only will work in any organization. Any organization. So here's the first one. The way we treat others is a reflection of our attitude about ourselves. That's important to see. See, all the other verses result of putting verse 31 into practice. The way you treat those around you is really a reflection of how you think about yourself. The book of Proverbs, the writer says this in the 23rd chapter, verse 7. You may want to write that verse in your margin. As a man thinks, so he will become. That verse means whatever is going on in our hearts will be visibly seen in our actions. Here's what I know. It is sometimes hard. If someone has a hard time getting along with someone else, it's because they really have some major league struggles going on in their life taking place. Over the years, when I was involved with secular employment, as I've went through my education, I've come across people that were absolutely a terror to deal with. They're awful to hang around. I think it was Rick Warren that dubbed them this way, EGR. You know what EGR stands for? Extra grace required. The funny thing about EGR people is no one really wants to own up to being that EGR. It's always someone else. It's never me. And if I'm talking to you directly, it's never you, by the way. There are times in our life, this is what I know, that any of us can be an EGR person, but I also understand that there are people that take mistreating other people to a platinum level. The Bible reveals the way that we feel about ourselves will manifest itself in the way that we treat others. If we treat others poorly, then we probably don't have a high opinion about ourselves. Most of us are familiar with some aspect of the Ten Commandments. We understand that it's divided into two parts: our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Well, the Apostle Paul sums up the second half of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, in Romans, the 13th chapter, starting in verse 8. Let me read these to you. Owe no man except owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves has fulfilled the law. For the commandments say, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any of the other commandments, all these are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now listen, not only the way that you treat others is a reflection of your attitude about yourself, we can see that, it's also our attitude toward God. I really wanted you to get a hold of this one this morning. There's a couple things I want you to follow closely with me this morning. The Bible says we are created in the image of God. And it just stands to reason. If we treat, it says something about God the way we treat others. How we feel about God will say how we treat others as well. I want you to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ found in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Golden rule. Why, it's a reflection of what we think about God, friends. I mean, it's clear as day to me. We can see that there is a direct connection, the way we treat others and the way that we think about God. You think little about God, your treatment of others are probably going to be poor at best. The other point I want you to follow with me as well, our heart toward God. Not only the way that we treat others, but listen, Christ said, to him you shall love your Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Breaking this down a little bit further, we're to love God thoughtfully. That means we need to love our neighbors thoughtfully. With our mind, we need to think about what we're doing for them, what we're doing with them. We need to love God passionately. By the way, that means we need to love our neighbors passionately in a pure and wholesome way, by the way, with all our heart and with all our soul. And then we need to do it practically with my strength. I can tell you I love you. I can say all these high and platitudes out there and never put it into action, and it doesn't mean a thing. So graduates and everyone else this morning, the way we treat others is a reflection of our attitude toward ourselves and to God. So here's the next thing I want us to see that we can unpackage as well this morning. The way that we treat others will mean blessings or cursings. There's a couple ways that this works, and I want to explore both this morning. First thing you need to realize, you will either be a blessing or a cursing to others, those around you. There's some heavy stuff in this text this morning. You will make a difference in someone's life, whether that's positive or negative. Remember in the introduction, I said this. I said, some of us were so fortunate, we were born on second base, and we think we've hit a double. Well, I know the other side to that is this. Literally, there are some who have been born with two strikes against them, and they have a really hard time at existing. Here's something we need to get a hold of. The way you act towards someone else may not only be may be the only act of kindness that that person will ever see. Do you realize that? That whether you're talking about in your office, whether you're talking about in your school, whether you're talking about the waitress that brought your food to you today, will bring your food to you today, you may be dealing with somebody that has two strikes against them, and your act of kindness may be the first act of kindness that they have seen in a long time. It may be the only act of kindness that they've ever seen in their life. Do you know how much better society would be if we could treat people without partiality? It'd be so much better. James says this in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. My brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should come also in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in the good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Here's the practical for all of us. Give up your seat. We don't have assigned seating in this church, by the way, do we? There's been a couple times I've heard somebody say in the past, well, that's where I sit. Don't they know that they're sitting in my seat? Give up your seat. If you're in a situation where someone older needs a seat, young people, give it up. Let them have that seat. Leave a decent tip to your server. Anybody that's involved in the food industry will tell you to a T that sometimes the worst patrons are the ones that come in after Sunday morning service. Now, we laugh at that, but that's the truth. We hand out tracts, and we leave a dollar or we leave 50 cents. I believe it's our obligation to treat them fairly, to treat them rightly, by the way, regardless of the service or the food that you've received. They may have had nothing to do that your steak was underdone or your fish was over-seasoned or whatever, you know. Don't do that. Treat people like the way you would want to be treated. If you're in the front of a long line and you see somebody come up to the grocery store behind you and they've got two items and you got a cart full, let them go ahead of you. Doesn't have to be a relation. Doesn't have to be your wife, by the way. Just think about how much better the office would be, the work site would be, the school would be, this church would be, if we just remember to treat people the way that we want to be treated. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Now, the other side of this is not only is that you will either be a blessing or cursing to others. I want you to understand, you yourself will be blessed or cursed. I want you to understand there's a reward in the here and now for treating others the way that you would want to be treated. And there's also an eternal reward that we will see in heaven someday. Look down in verse 38 in Luke, the 6th chapter. Here's what it says. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you give or that you use will be measured back to you. Friend, the short summary of this is you can't outgive God. If you're giving with the right measure, there's no way that you can outgive God. So it just makes sense. If you're going to give with the biggest possible thing that you can give with, because that's the same thing the Bible points out that will be used to give back to us. Now let's take that a little practical today. Maybe you find yourself lonely. Maybe you find yourself without friends. Well, how are you treating other people? For our college graduates, our high school graduates, I'm telling you, as you go off into college, as you go into other areas of life, you need to treat people good. You need to be fair with them. Proverbs says this, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. If you look around and there's no one else around you, it goes back to the old Mark principle. You know what the Mark principle is? If there's something wrong with, if everybody's got a problem with Mark, then the problem is Mark. It's not everybody else. You can make a positive difference and be a blessing in someone else's life and return. Here's what will happen. You will find that you have some really great relationships. I have some great friendships. I have some great relationships. That's how we're blessed in the here and now. We have some folks that we can count on. The Bible says also you will be blessed in the world that is to come. because you've stored up for yourself treasures in heaven that cannot be stolen, that cannot rust or fade away. But just as there's a reward for those who treat people well, there's also a curse for those who treat people poorly. People that make others miserable are just generally miserable themselves, unless they're such a sadomasochist that they have joy in making someone else miserable. Now, I have seen some people that I've really wondered if that was who they are. But I want to share with you what happens to someone in life that chooses to make someone else miserable. Here's the first one. You're going to have a lack of true friends. You will. That's the way that you'll go through life, the lack of true friends. As I've read from Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 24, if you're going to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. The second thing, you're not building any kind of lasting legacy. No one's going to be talking about you. Nobody's going to remember the things that you've done or have done, that you're doing or have done. Focus on yourself, and you probably will get what you want, but you're not going to want what you get after a while. And here's the third thing. Business person, manager at your shop, manager on the floor. If you treat people poorly, here's what can happen and will happen. You're just going to run out of people to mistreat. You know, the old adage that there's born one every minute, that's not true. You're going to run out of the pool of people that you can take advantage of. Think about the business person who just takes and takes and takes advantage of everybody else. The pool of people that he or she can cheat will eventually dry up. They'll go away. And when they're in their time of need, they're not going to have anybody around them to fulfill and to meet that need. So listen, everyone. The way we treat others is either going to be a blessing or cursing. It's going to either be a blessing to them or cursing to them. And ultimately, whatever it does for them, it's going to do for us as well. So here's my hope. Here's my aspirations. I hope you choose to treat others fairly, rightly. Treat them as you would want to be treated. Now, here's the final point this morning. It really is maybe the most major point of them all. It distinguishes us from everybody else. Now, Jesus points out to us that most people can respond to kindness. I'm good at that, by the way. I like to be treated well. I like to treat people well who treat me well. He's certainly not telling us that that's a bad thing. It's a Christian thing to do. It's really a society kind of thing to do, by the way, as well, he points out in the scriptures. That's what makes marriages great. Husband and wife treating each other in a good way. It's what makes companies good. People treating one another good. One person does good, another person does good back. It just goes back and forth. It's what makes great church, by the way. But look at the contrasting word picture that's given here. Who does these things? You're to love your enemy. Be good to those who hate you. Isn't that hard? It is for me. If someone strikes you, we're to turn the other cheek. Now, honestly, who does that today? Well, let me tell you, it should be us. It should be you and me. Christ is telling us to do something that is totally unexpected. That's not normal. Something that goes against our grain. So let me give you some final insights this morning about following this rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Ask how you would like to be treated in that situation. Ask yourself that. That's a legitimate question. 19th century novelist George Eliot said, "Keep true, never be ashamed of doing right, decide on what you think is right, and stick to it." To our graduates and everyone else this morning, you may be very talented, and that's good. That's a wonderful thing to have. But talent is a gift. Character is a choice. Character good character will take you farther in life. There's lots of things in life that you don't get to choose. I didn't get to choose where I was born at. I certainly get to choose my parents. I didn't get to choose how tall I wanted to be. I would have liked to have been 6'5". That would have been nicer. But at 5'11", on a good day, that's where I'm stuck at. But here's what I know. We all can choose godly character. Third thing. When dealing with others, seek first to understand. Listen to them, and then to be understood. How can you be understood unless you understand what is going on with them? It just makes sense. You know, when we have this attitude that we will listen, we try to understand what's going on, it shows flexibility in our life. It shows teachability in our life. The people that succeed in life are the ones that have flexibility, those who have teachability. They have teachable attitudes. They have flexible attitudes. We all should be lifelong learners. It is true that readers are leaders. And unless you really push yourself, you know what happens to most men after they graduate high school? They never read another book. They don't crack another book open. That's not good. If you're not willing to learn, here's what I know. You're just dead already if you're not willing to learn. I don't care if you're 80 this morning. I don't care if you're 70, 53, such as my age is this morning, which, by the way, is the new 35. You got to be willing to learn. You're dead. You just haven't made it official. There's a great difference between knowing and understanding. You can know a lot about something, but that doesn't really mean that you understand it. The same is true of people. You may know a lot about somebody. Seek to understand them, then seek to be understood. So let's all stand. I want to give you today's challenges. There's an old saying that goes like this. When you get squeezed, what's in you is going to come out of you. Now, friend, think about this. Everyone this morning, not only the graduates, how do you respond to others? How do you treat other people? Well, it's vitally important from what we've read and we've seen this morning in the scriptures. Second thing, am I good to those who are not good to me? That's a tough one. That's a hard one. Because initially, most of the time, our reaction, if you're a guy, is, you know what? They better stay away from me. Better not get up in my face. They don't know who they're messing with. Third thing, am I willing to treat someone fairly, even if it costs me in the short term? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. It is not only able to make us wise in the salvation, but it also is a light unto our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. It can help us discern, as I talked a few months back about road signs. Rules and regulations are about road signs, trying to figure out if we're going the right way, we're going the wrong way. And for everyone here this morning, including this pastor, we didn't lay out rules and regulations, but we put some road signs out there that I hope folks will look at and begin to say, you know what, I'm doing some things that I really shouldn't be doing. I've treated my spouse poorly, or I have treated my employees poorly. I was mean to that waitress or waiter the other day, and they couldn't help it. Maybe they were mean to start with. That doesn't excuse us, Father, for treating them in an inappropriate and unchristian manner. Father, you've called us to be different. You've called us to be salt. You've called us to be light. And so my prayer for the graduates and everyone here this morning is that we will see that being different is better when it comes to the Word of God. Our place of worship will be better. Our communities will be better. Our workplaces will be better. Our schools will be better. So I pray that this rule will resonate, that many will say, "Let it begin with me." And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.